Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for His word. Thank God for the power of His word. Hallelujah. God's word bringing about a change in our lives, a transformation. God's word is renewing our minds. It's another episode of Every Day with Jesus. Hallelujah. Every day with Jesus, every day in the word of life, every day in the gospel of Christ Jesus. This week we've been examining the implication of the statement of Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 1-2. I determined not to know anything among you except Christ Jesus and Him crucified, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We've seen so far some of the implications of this statement. And I remember saying that, everything Paul taught, everything the apostles taught, the entirety of the gospel is called Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. Now, at Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, we see Jesus give instruction to His disciples, the apostles, to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that means everything they wrote in their epistles together, summarily, is the gospel. Amen. And I said the letters of the apostles are divided into two main parts. Number one, we have revelation knowledge concerning what we have in Christ. Revelation knowledge of our identity, our position, our possession. And then we have instructions given to saints. But I said that all this should be seen as one and the same. One message, Christ and Him crucified. Now when we say this, I'm not trying to smuggle in the instructions to fit into Christ and Him crucified. The truth is, the instructions are a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. You know why? Because the instructions can only be given to a man that is in Christ. You can't give the kind of instructions the apostles gave to the church, wrote to believers. You can't give such instructions to unbelievers. They don't have the capacity to obey it. So that's why at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The same way the natural man cannot receive the truth about who Jesus is unless the Holy Ghost convicts him, the same way he can't receive the instructions given to believers in Christ Jesus. They are foolishness to him. Have you seen people say such things as, I'm not stupid, I can't take it. Or, you know, Bible tells us to bear with one another. Bible tells us to not avenge ourselves. We're going to see some examples. And then you find the world react to such statements because the truth is they cannot receive it. And a believer also who complains and rolls with the world so much to a point where he's influenced in his mindset and his conduct will not be able to receive such instructions until he parts ways, until he moves away or, you know, breaks communication or association or fellowship with those folks who are in the world, unbelieving friends that are influencing his thought pattern contrary to God's word. So I'll say again that the instructions are a part of Christ and Him crucified, because these are instructions you cannot give to unbelievers. The instructions you can give only to the man that is in Christ Jesus. They are spiritual instructions. You can only give these instructions to a spiritual man. Hallelujah. A spiritual man. So all the instructions are to be seen as a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. Someone said this to me some time ago. I almost fell for it. He said that Christ and Him crucified was Paul's message to the Corinthians because of their state. Because he says, you are carnal, you are babes in Christ. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual and things like that. I almost fell for it. And then I thought about it again and I discovered, no, that's not the reason why Paul, you know, taught them Christ and Him crucified. Because before Paul referred to them as carnal, chapter 2 of verse 1 and 2 is not referring to when Paul came to meet them and they were carnal and Paul was now rebuking them. That was Paul's first contact with them. That one was not because of their state. The letter, 1 Corinthians, the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, a lot of things were written to them based on their state. Paul was correcting several things. Paul was making several judgments concerning them. But when he first reached them with the gospel, when he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, he wasn't talking to them based on their state. He was talking to them based on the fact that the gospel is what he was meant to deliver to them. Hallelujah. That is the mandate. That was the message he was sent to every man. He was sent to deliver to every man. So he reached them on the basis of the fact that he wants their faith not to be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, which is what he said in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That was the reason why he taught Christ and him crucified. Not because they were carnal, they were babes, and they couldn't understand many things. No, but so that their faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because Christ and him crucified is the gospel of Christ. Paul had been sent to deliver to every man. Hallelujah. Now, I know that the person that said that to me wasn't trying to sway me or deceive me. He also believed that. So he just said that to me. And then I almost fell for it. And then I had a rethink. I said, no. Paul did not preach Christ and him crucified to them because of their state. Praise God. But because he didn't want their faith to rest in the wisdom of men other than in the power of God. Hallelujah. So Christ and him crucified is all-encompassing. It covers both the revelation knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, and it covers the instruction on how we ought to conduct ourselves because of who we are. In the light of our position, identity, and possession in Christ Jesus, there's a way we ought to live. That is, the revelation knowledge is what informs the conduct of the saints. Hallelujah. So let's see. I'm going to use two main chapters of the Bible where Paul gives instructions to the saints. Two main chapters. We're going to use them as a case study today. And then you're going to see how the instructions are not instructions you can give to just anybody. The man must be in Christ. Hallelujah. So let's just start right away. And we're going to end by showing us how that even the conduct itself is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Not only is the instruction relevant to the man in Christ, even the conduct the instruction demands is in Christ. You can't find it outside Christ. You are not meant to go and look for it outside Christ. It's in Christ Jesus himself. Glory be to God. So let's start from Romans chapter 12. Praise God. Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? So, of course, he can't be saying to unbelievers to not be conformed to the world. I mean, they are of the world. So this is an instruction you can only give to Christians. To renew our minds and be transformed by the same. Then he goes to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he will lead with diligence, he will show mercy with cheerfulness. He's talking about the grace of God in Christ Jesus given to us, and you know, pertaining to ministry. That's instruction you can only give to those who have been called in Christ Jesus. Ministry. Now let's get to other instructions. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good. Now this is an instruction you can only give to those who are in Christ. Love without hypocrisy. In the world, you have love with hypocrisy. In the world, people love, people do eye service, kind of love. But to the man in Christ, an instruction is given to him to love without hypocrisy. Why? Because he has the ability. Glory be to God. He's got the ability to love without hypocrisy. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Have you seen? Giving preference to one another, that's not the kind of stuff you're going to find in the world. In the world, people elevate themselves over others. People prioritize themselves above others. People prefer themselves to others. Do you understand? People assert themselves. People want to be seen as better, greater, superior, and all that. But in Christ, it says to prefer, to give preference to one another. That's an instruction you can give to a spiritual man. Look at verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's an instruction you can give only to a Christian or a believer in Christ Jesus. Verse 13, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. This doesn't make sense to the world. to be patient in tribulation. It doesn't make sense. It takes having the Spirit of Christ to be patient in tribulation. Hallelujah. In times of tribulation, in times of hardship, the world knows complain, murmurings. Hallelujah. That's why if you look at Philippians chapter 2, look at what Paul says in Philippians 2. We'll come back to Romans 12. Philippians chapter 2. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So at Philippians chapter 2, look at what Paul says at verse 14. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless, that you may stand out in the world. Because the way of the world is that of complaining, disputing, murmurings and all that. He says, you be without that, so that you can be blameless in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation. So you can stand out. Hallelujah. Worry, complaining, murmuring is a default setting in the world. When things are not going fine, people get to start complaining. And even if you tell them to not complain and worry, they tell you, okay, so what should I be doing? Because the truth is, that's the only thing that makes sense to them. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us that he'll keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. Philippians 4:6 says, be not anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. That's an instruction you can give only to men whose hope is beyond this world. Whose hope is in Christ. Whose hope is not in the transient, the earthly. Whose hope is not based on circumstances and situations. To men who have a higher reason for living. Hallelujah. To men who have life beyond this life. This is an instruction you can only give to spiritual men. Hallelujah. It don't make sense to the world. Back to Romans 12. Glory to God. Look at Romans 12. Okay, so continuing steadfastly in prayer, of course. Continue an instant, a continuous, you know, culture of prayer is only sensible to saints in Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Hallelujah. Distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. It's so rare. I've never even seen it happen before, that the world will be giving, you know, money to the church. The world will be trying to support the church, meet the needs of the saints. The world would love its own, Jesus said. Most times you find charity organizations just catering for normal citizens, every other person. But, you know, of course. So, but it takes being a saint of God. It takes being a Christian, a child of God, to care for the needs of other saints. Praise God. To have a genuine care for the needs of other saints. Being a Christian. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Oh boy. You can't find this in the world. People are persecuting you and then you are speaking well of them. You are blessing them. You are not mad. You are not raging. You are not foaming in the mouth with indignation. You are not cursing and swearing to get back at them. No. Hallelujah. To bless them. These are instructions only spiritual men are able to obey. Praise God. He says, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Have you seen? You won't find this kind of attitude in the world. People want to roll with the high and mighty, and they despise those who are of a humble state. Amen. And that's why I frown at this attitude of having a special seat for people in church based on their societal status, based on their wealth, based on their level of exposure in this life, based on their connections. So people have VIP seats in church not because they are doing well in the faith, but because they have some money, some cash to flaunt around. It makes no sense. That's the very thing Paul is warning us against in this place. He says, do not set your mind on high things. Associate with them that are humble and don't be wise in your own opinion. Praise God. This is the kind of instruction you can only give to men who are born of the Spirit of Christ. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Don't repay evil for evil. Vengeance. Tit for tat. That's not the culture in Christ. And this instruction is only applicable to those who are in Christ. The world does not have the ability to obey this kind of instruction. Praise God. In fact, in the world, it is not tit for tat. It is tit for tata. I don't know. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, the person is going to go an extra mile. It's not going to be an eye for an eye like the day of Moses. It's going to be an eye for an eye plus a tooth and a leg and a kidney. Praise God. The world is so violent. The world is so aggressive. The world is so vengeful. But that's not the culture in Christ Jesus. That's not the attitude in Christ Jesus. So the saint of God is giving a different instruction. Because he's able to obey it. He's got the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, look at this. Verse 18. We're just walking through the instructions, and I'm showing you how these instructions cannot be applicable to men outside Christ. It says to, look at verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Like really feeding. Hallelujah. Not figuratively. Real feeding. Cater for your enemy. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Look at the culture in Christ. We overcome evil by doing good. Hallelujah. Someone is trying to betray you, and then you are trying to help them out to, you know, get a better job. It doesn't make sense. Someone hates your children, but when you see their children, you wish them well. Someone hates your children for no reason, but you are helping their children to, you know, get their assignments done before their parents are back from work and all that. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. That kind of culture is not found outside Christ. It can only be an instruction and a culture to men who are in Christ Jesus, men of the Spirit. So that's Romans 12. Let's see Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. Ephesians 5. So we're going to pick from verse 1 also. Ephesians 5 from verse 1. I'm going to read till the end. So it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So it says to imitate God as dear children. Of course, obviously, you can't imitate God if you're not his child. Hallelujah. So this is an instruction only applicable to Christians, to men who are in Christ. It now says to do what? It says to love, to walk in love as Christ has loved us. This cannot be an instruction to men outside Christ. It can only be to men who have the nature of Christ, who can love as Christ loved us. Hallelujah. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and giving himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Hallelujah. As is fitting for who? For saints. Because this kind of culture is not found outside Christ Jesus. In the world, they don't call it fornication, they call it having fun. It's just fun. It doesn't make sense. And that's why if you find somebody who is not in Christ, somebody who is not, who claims there's no God, does not acknowledge Christianity, Christ, the gospel or anything, and then says, and the person says, I'm abstaining from fornicating. It doesn't make, it cannot happen. I mean, where did you get that notion of not wanting to fornicate? It can only be from the Bible. Praise God. It can only be from the Bible. So he says, as is fitting for saints, amen, even if they are practicing abstinence, it will be for other reasons. Maybe you don't want to contact diseases, you don't want to, or you just want to be alone. Not because you consider it to be fornication. Because according to scriptures, according to the Christian faith, having sexual intercourse with the unmarried, or married or as a single outside the confines of marriage is fornication. So this is instruction given to men who are in Christ. Hallelujah. It now says in verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Now, he's speaking about the wrath of God coming upon the sons of disobedience, not unbelievers who err sometimes. No. Sons of disobedience, the instruction is don't be partakers with them. That is, don't join them in, because you know they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know they are not Christians, so don't join them. Don't allow them influence you. Praise God. Don't allow them influence you because you have a different identity. That's why it gets to verse 8 and says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Again, he's talking about complaint, association. But rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So, you see that so far, he's talking about association, and he's showing you how that you have a different nature, and so because of that, you can conduct yourself in a different manner. Praise God. Now, it gets to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming, not as fools, that is not like the world. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. You can't give this kind of instruction to men who do not have the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit because you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks. It's a commandment, it's an instruction to men who are in Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, this is where I really want to get to. Verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, oh God. The truth is, this kind of instruction is only applicable to those who are in Christ Jesus. And a believer who allows the world to influence his way of thinking, his mindset, would also have a problem with this particular instruction. A lot of women will fight this, protest against it, try to bend it to mean what it does not mean. Did you see the implication? Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Like the Christ, like the way the church submits to Christ. Hallelujah. Now, before you get into a panic mode, oh, so I should just submit like that. No, he gives instruction to the husband. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the head of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church, he is the and is the savior of the body. So you see, he says the man is the head. Now, this is not convenient for the world. The world does not want to hear this kind of thing. The concept of headship in marriage is not in the world. You won't find it in the world. It's difficult for men to agree with this outside Christ. But it's a revelation and an instruction to us in Christ. Hallelujah. So look at verse 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Such that a Christian woman who is finding it difficult to admit this and realize this and walk by this has allowed the world to influence his mindset about marriage in Christ. Hallelujah. About how we ought to conduct and see ourselves as the married in Christ. Amen. But then he gives instructions to husbands too. Look at this. So while wives are struggling and women are struggling today to agree with this truth of submitting to their husbands as to Christ, husbands also have their own instruction. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So he says husband ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Do you know how Christ loved the church? Without finding fault. Hallelujah. Without counting sins and imputing errors. Christ loved the church completely, absolutely. Amen. Sacrificially. This is a hard task. So that means when the husbands love their wives, as Christ loved the church, it won't be hard for the woman to submit as the church submits to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So that means Jesus is not trying to put any woman in a fix here. He's not trying to put you in a fix. He's not trying to put you in a fix. That's why there's an instruction on choosing who to marry. That the person must be in the Lord. Amen. The person must be in the Lord. You can't just choose anybody. Because that will be you setting up yourself up for a life of misery, of a life of a difficult, setting yourself up for a difficult situation. a difficult life in marriage. Hallelujah. Because you would have to submit either ways. But it is good when the man you are submitting to is a man that loves you as Christ loved the church. Hallelujah. Peter would teach that even if they do not believe the word, wives ought to submit in a way that without the word they will be one with the conduct of their wives. So you would have to submit either ways. Submission is Christ's prescription to the woman. Hallelujah. But the woman will be doing herself a great deal of good and service if she chooses a man that is in the Lord and is submissive in the Lord. Hallelujah. So husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Now this is an instruction you can only find applicable to the man in Christ. You can't tell an unbeliever to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Who is Christ? He doesn't even know. How does Christ love the church? He has no idea. Hallelujah. So you see that with respect to conduct, everything the apostle Paul has been writing, we saw the book of Romans 12, we are seeing Ephesians 5, everything written as, you know, pertaining to conduct can only be applicable to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why it's a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Look at Galatians 5. Now this conduct in itself is not something the husband will now be looking for. Hallelujah. Or the wife will be looking for it. Submission. How can I? No. It is as we submit to the influence of God's word. It's as we know who we are in Christ Jesus and we understand our place in Him. It is as we understand these things and we mature in the faith and we grow up in the faith that we begin to exhibit this conduct. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It doesn't mean that the instructions are separate from the doctrine. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean the instructions are in conflict with the doctrine. So I have the doctrine of who I am in Christ. I understand who I am in Christ. But then the instructions are things I now struggle to achieve. No. They are not instructions for righteousness as much as they are instructions in righteousness. Because we are in the righteousness of God. So we are instructed to act it out. Hallelujah. So when I say to a fish to swim, I'm not trying to impose on the fish something contrary to its nature. I'm only telling the fish to act out its nature. So when I say to a righteous man, walk righteously, I'm not giving you an instruction contrary to your being. Hallelujah. Your doing is going to be a reflection of your being. Praise God. So that's it. So the instructions are not contrary to us. The instructions are not outside Christ Jesus. The instructions are in Christ. To men in Christ. And the conduct we are meant to exhibit also, the conduct that the instructions also demand and seek to achieve are also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I started by saying that the instructions are also a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. Because the conduct the instructions seek to achieve and seek to draw out from us are also to be found in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Do you know that all the things we have read so far as way of instruction, so far, when it comes to attitude, dealing with others, relating with others, do you know they all are found in one thing? Love. Hallelujah. Love. The man that would give preference to others is the man walking in love. The man that will meet the needs of the saints is the man walking in love. Hallelujah. True or not true? Very true. Hallelujah. The man that would associate with the humble and not despise them is the man that walks in love. The man that will not avenge himself, the man that would not repay evil for evil is the man walking in love. Praise God. So all the instructions can be tied to one thing, walking in love. In fact, let me quickly read you something in Romans. Romans 13. Hallelujah. The man that will forgive, and you know, all is tied to a walk in the love of God. Look at Romans 13. The Bible is not difficult after all. It is very, very simple, non-complicated, if only we allow God's word speak for itself. Romans 13, I'll read from verse 8. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, if there is any other, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to your neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Have you seen? That is, with respect to our work, our Christian conduct, it says love is the fulfillment of all things. Hallelujah. So where is this love? Where is it found? This love is not something we go and look for. This love is not something we struggle to achieve or attain. It's not something we are trying to act. That is, it is not a part of our nature, but we are just trying to act like love beings. No. This love in itself as a conduct, as an attitude or a character, is found in Christ Jesus. So that's why Galatians 5 makes sense. Look at this. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. I'll read from verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Walk in the spirit. Now, what is the walk in the spirit going to result in? We're going to find out soon. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, and just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. The works of the flesh are all the things stated, works of the flesh. A walk in the Spirit will result into producing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, it doesn't say the fruit of the Spirit, you know. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Plural things. Many things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Not the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy. Because all the other attributes are found in love. That's why if you read 1 Corinthians 13, you understand this better. 1 Corinthians 13. It shows you that every other thing is an attribute of the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, from verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Have you seen? The fruit of the Spirit is love, kindness. Love is kind. Have you seen? Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, rejoices in the truth. So, every other thing found here is an attribute of the love of God. Hallelujah. God is long-suffering towards us because He loves us. God is patient with men because God is love. So, God is kind, God is good because God is love. So, this love is a fruit of the Spirit, such that every instruction given to us in Christ Jesus seeks to draw out just one thing, a walk in love. Hallelujah. That's spiritual growth. A walk in love. That we begin to walk as Christ walked. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. The love walk. Hallelujah. Where I'm able to forgive. Where I'm able to meet the needs of others. Give cheerfully to others. Where I'm able to prefer others above myself and all of that. Where I'm able to not deal self, to stop dealing selfishly in the affairs of life. The love walk. So, where is this love found? In Christ. So, it's not a conduct we are looking for. It's a conduct in Christ. So, it's still a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified because it's a conduct found in Christ. It's a conduct found as an attitude exclusive to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why, look at how Paul hints it at verse 24. He says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. So you see, Christ and Him crucified. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. Where did that happen? In Christ's death and resurrection and our identification with the same. Praise God. Those in the world do not have their flesh crucified with its passion and desires. So this is an in Christ reality. It's only a reality found in those who have believed the gospel, in those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's an in Christ reality. It's a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. One of the things that Christ and Him crucified brought away is that He gave us the nature of love. He gave us the Spirit of God that produces the love work. So that means Philemon 1:6 is still applicable to conduct. Hallelujah. Philemon 1:6 is very applicable to our conduct. That the sharing of your faith may be effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So I cannot even produce the conduct until I acknowledge this good thing that is in me in Christ Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The conduct the instructions demand are also a part and parcel of the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. I'll say that again. The conduct that the instructions demand are a part and parcel of the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. That means the conduct is also a part of my inheritance. Hallelujah. That means the conduct is also a part of my possession in Christ Jesus. That means God has given me the ability in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the instructions are given to me to draw the conduct that is in me in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Titus 2, verse 13 to 14. Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We have been wired and natured to do good. Praise God. So the conduct is not outside of Christ, it's in us. The conduct is part of our possession, our inheritance in Christ. We have the right conduct. We have the conduct of the new man. It's in us. The conduct came with the life of God. So the instructions are given to draw the conduct. The instructions are given to show us that we have the ability to conduct ourselves in a different way from the world. Praise God. And this will not happen unless we first know who we are, our identity, and what we have. We pay attention to this revelation till it begins to birth and produce in us the right conduct that is already in us in Christ Jesus. Till the conduct of the Spirit, till the life of the Spirit, the lifestyle of the Spirit rather, begins to reflect on the outside. Glory be to God. So you see, it's all a part and parcel of Christ and Him crucified. It's not to be separated. Don't say, well, Christ and Him crucified is the gospel. Now let's talk about other things. You know, I was once in a setting where somebody said, see, it can't just be about gospel. Because let's talk to people about their attitude. Let's tell them about their attitude. Attitude is also very important. Where is that attitude? It's in Christ. Hallelujah. That attitude, that conduct you want to tell them about is in Christ. If you tell them attitude and conduct without talking about them in the light of Christ Jesus, you know what you are giving people? Moral codes, psychological tips, courtesy, etiquette in the world. And that's not what the instructions in the Bible are about. The instructions are instructions in righteousness, instructions to the man in Christ to draw the conduct that he has in the Spirit. Hallelujah. So this is Christ and Him crucified. From tomorrow, we're going to examine, you know, the aspects I listed yesterday. Marriage, business recovery, finances, money, and then politics, governance. And see what the apostles had to say about those things. And how those things also can be classed as preaching Christ and Him crucified. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for another powerful episode of God's Word on Every Day with Jesus. Invite your friends, talk about it, shout about it, put on your status, and let us come together to have a great time in the Word again. Have a powerful day of being full of the Spirit, being full of the Word, being full of the things of the Spirit, being full of songs, spiritual songs to the Lord, psalms and hymns, and you know, just enjoy the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord. You could go right away and start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. Sing a song. Sing a song. Just bless His name. Just bless His name. That's how to have a great day. See you in the next episode.